And now, for the Financial Times ranked top investment advisor, Hanson McLean. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right, on this Valentine's weekend. Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
I think with my wife, it's Valentine's weekend. It's probably the best way to have the whole weekend for her. And anyway, both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors. We help people out throughout the week. We come here on the weekend. And, of course, it's been a really volatile time in the financial markets, the economy. Are we heading into a recession? A lot of things going on this last week.
Yeah, and there seems to be this sort of separation between what's happening in the United States and other parts of both the emerging markets and developed markets.
And there's just some really kind of perplexing things. The thing that's interesting about markets, you can call it interesting, it might be painful, things never repeat themselves exactly like they had before.
Things are predictive, but they're not.
It's always a little bit different.
Every time.
Every time there's some sort of economic downturn, there's a stress somewhere, it's always a little bit different. So during this program, we'll spend a little time about, you're an investor today, what should you be doing, right? The markets, we just looked at the stock market this last week. Thursday, we were down 300 and some odd points.
At some point.
And then it ended up finishing two. And then Friday, you know,
markets way up, opens up early.
And oil, we had oil drop down to a 14-year low. Then it bounces back up on Friday. Just
stuff coming out of Japan. We've seen the last few weeks is a couple economies have gone to negative interest rates in the in order to kind of spur growth in the economy.
What's happened to Japan since then? So we'll talk a little bit about the economy, but also what are you supposed to do as an investor, right? Maybe you're about ready to retire, a few years off from retire, or at least you want to be at the point where you can retire, and you're looking at your portfolio thinking, well, what should I be doing now? I mean, things really haven't grown. I mean, the stock market's essentially the same place it was 2 years ago. So what am I supposed to be doing with this now? Maybe you are retired and thinking, I'm living off my money now. What should I be doing? So we'll be talking through some of these issues, particularly during the first segment here.
It's very emotional. It's scary. And the reason it is scary during this market turmoil is because everyone points back to the last time in 08 and 09, and there's this great fear of, is this repeating itself? Is it going to be this bad again?
And, of course, nobody really knows.
But it could become self-fulfilling, but nobody really knows. But it is a much different economic environment this time than it was last time.
We don't have nearly the kind of leverage. The banks don't have nearly the kind of leverage as they had before. We don't have the same kind of
institutions don't have nearly the leverage.
Correct. The cash balances of most institutions are at a point we haven't seen in
phenomenal
ever, really.
Yeah.
Huge cash balances for these companies. But we're clearly seeing some stresses, and we're seeing the markets reflect those stresses by some pullbacks and huge volatility in the market. And some investors are like, that's fine. I've got a great strategy. I'm not worried about it. Things are going to do this. It's overdue. I'm glad we're going through it. Doesn't really matter. It's going to blow through it. It's gone through this before, and it'll come higher again. That's some investors. And a good chunk of investors actually have that sort of viewpoint. But we also understand there's a great number of investors and individuals. I mean, most people, the term investor, maybe that's somebody else. I'm just an individual trying to make sure that I can maintain my lifestyle the rest of my life.
But if you're investing, you're an investor.
But for some, it's a very frightening time, and they're starting to question, thinking, do I have the right strategy? Should I be doing something different? Should I be getting out of this? I've seen this decline. We saw if we looked through the top when the Dow was 18 whatever it was at the top of its latest peak, through last Thursday it was down about 15%, about a 15% decline.
In the scheme of how the markets have performed over the last 100 years, this is
nothing.
A pretty normal part of the market. Although it's been, how long has it been since we've seen a 15% decline in the market?
Back 08.
Yeah.
We haven't seen this kind of decline.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
I believe it's been somewhere. It's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah. 08, early
it's
09.
It's been a while since. Remember, think about the Portuguese bond crisis. I mean, we've had a lot of other hiccups. We just tend to forget. And because they're different each time, it's not like it's the same thing, right? So if suddenly you woke up and there was 2 feet of snow on the ground in an area where it never snows, you're living down in San Diego and there's snow on the beach in the morning, first time it happens, you're going to freak out. But if this is something, a pattern that always happened every winter,
then
you wouldn't think anything of it. It's like, oh, I guess this is Denver. We get snow periodically. But so the challenge is every time we have a new economic mix-up, it's not really a crisis yet, but in some areas it's a crisis, it's different and it's new and it's frightening. I mean, for right. a lot of individuals, it can be frightening. So first, a couple things to put things in perspective. Maybe you're a few years off from retirement. And you're looking at your 401k and you're thinking, I thought I had a good allocation in my 401k. I've got 55% in equities or whatever the percentage is. I've got these other things. I thought I had a good allocation, but I'm retiring, or at least I'm hoping to retire or be ready to retire in 3 years. So my time horizon is now short because I'm looking at retiring in 3 years. Well, you're really not going to be spending your money in 3 years.
And there's two portions of that portfolio that you just spoke about, Scott. There's the equity portion of the portfolio, and there's the fixed income or bond portion of the portfolio.
So, correct. So it's not all at risk. So one way to view it is to say, okay, I'm 3 years away from retirement. How much income do I need to derive from my portfolio in 3 years? And then say, all right, let me make sure I've got some chunk of my portfolio that's not tied to this financial crisis. Mess that's going on right now. It's not in stocks. It's not in anything tied to oil. It's not in emerging markets. It's not in.
It might be in
junk
short
bonds.
It might be in short-term bond funds.
Maybe something on the conservative side. So if you think, all right, I'm going to retire in 3 years. Let me make sure I've got at least a few years of income that's not at any sort of risky asset to give myself plenty of time.
That would be prudent. That would absolutely be prudent. If you're a few years away from retirement, but if you're in retirement, it's not only prudent, it's essential.
Right. So let's say that you are retired. Maybe you retired 6 months ago when the markets were looking better. Now you're like, man,
how am I going to do this?
Well, one way to look at things, instead of viewing your portfolio all as one, you can look at your entire net worth and calculate it on a daily basis if you want. What's my home worth? What are my cars worth? What's my IRA worth? What's my stock in Apple worth? What, you can go through the whole list like that. And then you think, oh my gosh, I've declined. Or you can look at it and say, what, look, I'm not spending most of these dollars. I'm not spending my home today. I'm not selling my cars today. I'm not selling my Apple stock today. I'm not selling my stock mutual funds today. Yes, I'm taking some income from my investments. The question is, how many years can you go before you have to touch any of those other assets that are volatile and flux? And for most people, there are several years worth of income in other assets, more conservative assets, to allow the markets to go through their ups and downs. And I think, Pat, what we've noticed over the years, we've been doing this 20-some-odd years, helping people through retirement, so we've certainly lived through many economic cycles.
Oh, correct. I can't think of a single client that's retired of mine that doesn't have at least seven to eight years to 10 years is, I think it's, if you think about it, if you're taking a 4 or 5% distribution.
Of course we think about it. This is sort of the analysis we do.
Well, okay. Well, if we think about it.
I'm kind of thinking here for a second. Of course, I mean, that's the whole kind of planning thing, right? And so it's understanding. So I think what we just want to maybe is to help you through this time is if you step back and you look at your portfolio, and if you're not sure, talk to your advisor. Talk to the financial advisor you work with, or if you're doing things on yourself, do some additional analysis and look and say, all right.
And your advisor should have done a portfolio stress test by now.
To look at things.
How they're going to react.
How much is truly at risk? And if it's at risk, then the question is, do you have enough time to let things go through its cycle? And if you remember, look, we went through the financial crisis. It looked like the world was going to stop spinning.
Oh, the markets since the Great Depression.
The markets marched onto new highs across the board. I was at the gym the other day and talking to this guy, and he asked me about how things with your business, with the markets and stuff. And we're talking, and he says, what's the Dow at now? Is it like 12,000? I said, no, it's actually about 16,000. Is that high? He says to me.
Oh, is that right?
He says, I really don't pay much attention to it. I said, it was at 18,000 not long ago. He says, well, that's not much of a drop off.
Right? like he didn't.
And I thought, well, you got a good perspective. Then he was honest and he says, well, I'm certainly not at the point I could afford to retire today. So maybe he didn't have that risk to think about it so much. But, I mean, look, it's a tough time. You've got Japan goes into negative interest rates. And what happens? Their stock market declines. And what happens? People are buying more yen. The value of the yen's going up.
Crazy.
It seems backwards. Why would you invest in a currency where it's going down? And as soon as you put the money into the currency, it's got to be invested somewhere. You put it in the bank, you're going to lose money. You put it in the markets, you're going to lose money. But yet the yen is rising. We've got some of these European banks, Swiss banks, just cut their into negative further.
Negative.
It's bizarre. And it's probably not going to end tomorrow.
Yeah. And quite frankly, the Fed probably lowered raised these interest rates a little too soon. And if you listen to the show, our show, which it says at the time when they're like, it might be a little, you know, we shouldn't be in a big hurry to try to spur this on. But
well, they might have a long time ago.
Consumers, they can in the United States, we're getting the oil euphoria is happening for the average consumer. Yeah.
But look, we might have a recession. Just if a recession might come. If we have a recession, does not mean you need to sell out of everything.
Yes,
we've had lots of recessions, lots of them.
I got a text from my brother-in-law. He's 10 years from retirement. I had allocated his 401k for him. Got a text from him
for crying out
earlier this week that says, is there anything we should be doing to my portfolio? And I responded, yeah, if the market falls another 5%, we're going to increase your equity exposure.
That's exactly right. So the thing to do right now, number one, I think it's prudent just to look at your situation. Make sure you've got some things that aren't in terribly risky things. Or you've got plenty of time for those things that are in risky assets. Number one, do nothing. And for most people, frankly, that's probably the right thing to do.
Number two, if you may want to reallocate the portfolio to actually bring your equity exposure higher.
That's right. Things are on sale. They're cheap right now.
And it's counterintuitive, but the reality is that things are more attractive now than they were months ago.
But the third thing is if this is truly causing you great anxiety, you actually might want to look at reducing your exposure right now. It's a bad time to sell, but it might be worse in the short term. We frankly don't know, but
You most certainly should have a conversation with your advisor or an advisor you trust.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to join Hanson McLean, you would like to ask us a question on the air about anything in your financial world, you can reach us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We'll be right back.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
That's right. Scott Hanson and Pat McLean here with you. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
And if you'd like to you're funny. The music was going. Keep playing that, John. That was nice. And you're like waving your hands like it's driving you crazy.
It's Bachman Turner Overdrive. It's not like I'm 74 years of age. This is old school music.
And if you're 74, what's the point? What are you saying?
I'm not a huge fan of the Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Are those guys still alive? It seems like every week another one of my rock heroes.
Were they your rock heroes?
We had
David Bowie.
David Bowie, the guy from the Eagles, and we can't forget the lead from Motorhead. I mean, you know, right there.
I don't know if I've ever actually listened to a Motorhead song, but that's just me.
I have a very wide range of music choices. Yeah. I actually listened to the best of Motorhead. It was more than one song, by the way. While I was skiing. I was skiing, and it was a good opportunity to listen to the best of Motorhome. And there's a little rough. I'm pretty confident my wife would not let me play that in the house or in the car when she's there.
Your Motley full tape was broken. Is that why you were listening to Motorhead?
Motley Crue?
Oh, Motley Crue. Motley Fool's a financial group.
Motley Crue.
All right. What were you going to say?
That's what I was going to say. I don't know. Oh.
You were going to talk about something.
If you would like to join the program, this show, as you know, we talk about all kinds of stuff. If you want to join the program, we'd love to take your call. The call to join us, it's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-242-6766, 242-6766, and we'll take your call. And let's talk with Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hi. I just retired from the phone company. I started right out of high school. So 35 years later, they decided to move to Texas. I decided not to go. They offered me an enhanced severance package of 27 months pay, and I took a monthly pension because it'll double the lump sum if I live to be my parents' age. My mom's 88. My dad died when he was 80. So it would double the lump sum. So I'm getting a monthly pension of 60% of my salary, as well as my severance.
Did you say 50% or 60%?
60.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. I get it until I die. So the 27 months of severance, I've already saved $60,000 the first year. My only debt is my mortgage, which is about $1,200.
Well, can we step back? Let's step back. How old are you, Peter?
I'll be 55 February 16th.
Okay. You know, this is interesting because it is so common. There was a study I just saw, 58% of Americans retire earlier than they had planned, either because of a change at work or a health issue. And here's this so classic. Here's Peter. And what town are you in? What area do you live in?
I live in Walnut Creek, California.
Walnut Creek, Northern California. Job's moving to where? Texas, you said?
It already moved. I took the severance.
Got it. So
27 months pay.
And would you have retired this time otherwise?
No, I chose not to. No, but I had to because I chose not to.
Because your job, you didn't want to move to Texas.
You know what? You kind of wonder sometimes how often companies
do this on purpose.
Anyway.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, there's some business environments that are better than others.
Yeah. Anyway.
So what do you owe on your mortgage?
I owe about $175. It's worth $300. So I already, when I turned 62, I had been studying the reverse mortgage. I'm probably going to do that to give me extra income. And then collect Social Security. My question was, I've heard of a structured cash flow that they buy through corporate pensions, and they have plans protected through the PBGC, whatever that means.
Okay.
So if I give them $50,000 of my severance, they'll start giving me 7% at about $979 every month instead of my money at Patelco. It's earning, what,
So, Peter, step back for a second. There is the PBGC, and that is protecting the pension that you're receiving from AT&T when you retired. And it may cover 100% of the pension or 80% of the pension. It depends on the amount you're receiving on a monthly basis.
And what age you retired.
So that's it. Tell me.
By the way, for listeners, it'll cover about, last I looked, it's about $45,000 a year in pension benefits if you're 65 or older when you retire. Every year you retire above that, it's a lesser amount that they insure.
And that's the PBGC. So tell me more about this product that someone is telling you about that is covered by PBGC.
It's structured cash flow by a company called Live Abundant. They said, give $50,000, and then you could start, because by the end of 5 years, you'll make 7% interest. It's $979 a month for 5 years, so... I don't know if that's...
And where's the money invested?
And corporate pensions. Pensions, they said, through the government, and they said that...
What was the name of this company? Did you say Live Abundant?
Live Abundance. You could Google it.
I will.
So 7% is good, but then
That's not a 7% annual return.
7%. 7% of my $50,000 if I were to give it to them.
Yeah, but that's,
if you go, it'll the payout after the 5 years would be $58,767. It's $979 a month. Times that by 12, and then times that by 5 years.
Yeah, doesn't. But then,
you're not
factoring what kind of internal rate of return they're going to give you.
Yeah.
Well, they said a guaranteed 7% on my money.
Well, there's no such thing.
Well, that's what they said. They sent me a PDF on the breakdown. $979 a month.
Right, I understand that, but that's not the same as getting. That might only be 1.5% a year. Interest.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Well, the total after those 5 years would be $58,760.
Right.
But if they let's say they paid you 7% the first year, and you chose not to take any interest, your first year your balance would go from $53,500.
And then you said the next year I'm not going to do anything else either. I'm not going to take any interest, and they're going to pay you another 7%. You're going to go to about $58,000. And the third year, if they said you're not going to take any interest, and they paid you 7%, you would go to about $62,000.
Well, I don't know, but they told me they'd pay me $979 every month for 5 years.
Peter, that's what they'll pay you, but it's not a 7% rate of return. It's about a 1.5% rate of return.
Okay, well then the total is $58,767 after 5 years. That sounds like $8,000 interest sounds good.
It's not though. It's not good. It's not good because you could actually go right now and you could buy 1 year CDs at a bank that is an online bank, and you could get 1.25% without having to tie your money up for 5 years, and it's FDIC insured. I'm suspect number one of the PBGC insurance that they have.
Anyone who tries to claim that there's this government thing when they're not government agency, right there, is I'm suspect.
That scares me. But I've never heard of such a thing. And listen, I've only been doing this 25 years, and we only managed $2 billion. So maybe I missed something. But that scares me. That was the first alarm that went off. And the second alarm was...
Well, then why would he say it's 7%?
He's trying to sell you something.
Okay. I thought, you know, that... I do have a CD with Patelco. They're offering 1.5% for the first year, 1.75% for the second year, and 2% for the third year. So I did leave that alone.
And it's a 3-year CD.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's better than what you're talking about here. And that one actually has some NCUA insurance on it.
Right.
Which is similar to the FDIC. Yeah.
Just because someone tells you that it's guaranteed, it's only guaranteed as good as that company is. For all I know, for all you know, it's a company's a Ponzi scheme.
Well, I looked at their Google. I Googled the Live Abundant, and they look pretty reputable to me. I mean, I don't know. You don't know who to believe when it comes to your money nowadays.
Liz, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it with my money because there were two alarms that went off, the so-called PBGC on a third party. I've never heard of such a thing.
And it's not guaranteed.
I suspect what they're doing is they're actually buying pensions from people.
Yeah, they're buying pensions.
They're buying someone else's pensions from people in a lump sum. So they're actually taking it.
But here's the thing you got to remember. We all live in the same interest rate environment, right? Mm-hmm. So the 10-year treasury bond yields less than 2%, right? People can go out and borrow. I can go out and borrow tomorrow with my credit, non-secured asset, probably at 4%, maybe even less than that, unsecured, just because
you're Scott Hansen.
I've got a good credit rate, and I'm just a little guy, right? So a major corporation, people.
I mean, he's literally a little guy.
Not very tall. So if you look at big companies can go out and borrow, if they can borrow it for short term, 2, 3, 4%, why are they going to guarantee you 7%?
Yeah, and actually, Peter, I would stay far, far away from this. It sounds like your risk tolerance is relatively low. This is what it sounds like. And this would not be something. First of all, they said two things. That they said 7%, and it's not 7%. And the second thing is they said there's PBGC insurance, and it may be.
Not for them, not for you.
And you may have some mortality risk here, too, because if you're purchasing someone else's pension, which means
they die.
Right. And they die, that pension goes away.
Right, I read that as a risk. It says the corporate pension plans have protection through PBGC.
So if I have terminal cancer and I have a lifetime annuity,
and I can sell it to someone,
wouldn't I try to sell it, get a cash up the name, knowing it's going to end as soon as I end?
Okay, but aren't there safeguards when it comes to these companies?
We would hope.
Disclose.
Peter, every
that's not right.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to agree.
Right. Strange. You're not going to get this at the bank. You're not going to go to Charles Schwab and get this, or Fidelity and get this, or Vanguard
or
get
Hanson
this,
McLean.
Or Hanson McLean, any independent advisor. You're not going to get it at Merrill Lynch. This is some weird, obscure company having an obscure product that are saying that you're going to get a 7% return.
Okay, well,
this is how
when you guys. I know you guys are busy, but right, it's called Live Abundant.
I wouldn't recommend my enemy to invest in it.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate the call,
yeah,
Peter.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, yeah. And I know it's frustrating. poor Peter calls.
So who do you trust? That's what he said. Who do you trust? I got a nice website.
Well, there's some certain standards. Matter of fact, we've got on our website lies, lawsuits, and levies, what your advisor doesn't want you to know. That's a good place. I'd suggest watching that webinar.
Go to moneymatters.com.
And we got to take a quick break. If you want to join us, call 1-888-2-HANSEN. 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLain.
To be part of Hanson McLain's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com. Back to one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLain's Money Matters.
Hanson McLain's Money Matters back with you, Scott Hanson.
Pat McLain.
Glad you're with us on this weekend. By the way, if you find that you've enjoyed listening to this program, but you can't listen to it each weekend because
you got a life.
We're in different times and...
in different markets, different... But there's an alternative. We've come up with this incredible technology called iTunes.
We came out. It's called a podcast.
It's called a podcast, and you could go to iTunes, and if you look up Hanson McLain, you can download it. It magically appears. You can listen to it whenever you want, wherever you want.
I forget how many thousands of down. How many do we have on a week coming down there? People in the sound booth are
2,000 a week.
2,000, is that all? Shouldn't
anyway,
have brought that up.
So
all right, so we need more people to sign up for five. It's 5,000.
Five.
I thought it was more than
5,000. So if you search for Hanson McLain, download our iTunes podcast, and then rate
subscribe
it, if you will.
And rate it.
And rate it. Rate it. Preferably high.
Yes, really high.
Yeah,
like the best ever.
Like off the...
Like you never heard anything quite like
it's incredible. Like Wake the Kids, Call the Neighbors incredible. That
anyway,
good.
And you can also go to moneymatters.com to get our podcast.
Yeah, which was our idea as well.
That part was our idea, the Money Matters.
Yeah, Money Matters. We got that domain, that URL, years and years ago.
Well, look, Hanson McLain's been around for 20-some-odd years. We've been doing this radio program for over 20 years. We've been broadcasting out of Northern California for over 20 years, although there are some markets that were newer in Southern California, Los Angeles at the Patriot. We're relatively new. We're relatively new on KOA in Denver, relatively new on Kogo in San Diego.
Do you remember in 1999 getting an offer to purchase moneymatters.com? Someone offered us $100,000 to purchase it.
They did?
Yeah, 1999.
I remember we had some offer, but I don't remember what it was. When we entertain it.
It was $100,000 back in 1999.
What were we thinking?
I was thinking.
I'm just kidding.
We were.
That's when all the pets.com.
Oh, everything.
That's what we were thinking. These guys are getting $1 billion for their domain.
Yeah.
$1 billion, by the way, we'd sell it. Just to throw it out there.
If you're looking.
If you're looking for the domain, moneymatters.com. Happen to be in the market for...
Actually, I'd sell it for less than $1 billion. If you want to know the truth.
Yeah, that's the truth. Anyway,
go to moneymatters.com, bid on it if you wish, or just view the information that's there.
It's not up for bid.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Francisco here in a moment, but real quick. There is an interesting story on 401ks. So right now, we're at a time when last year, more money left 401k plans that came into 401k plans. Right? There are 10,000 people turning age 65 in America every day. People use their 401ks to save money for retirement. Most people don't keep their money in there after retirement because it's not as simple for collecting a monthly check.
And some people want...
more control.
And advice.
Actually, the majority of times it gets rolled out to someone, an individual that with a financial advisor.
A person.
Someone that they could have their advisor, which most 401k plans you don't offer. You deal with the...
So more person. Money's going out than coming in.
So we're seeing plans now. Companies are making pitches to have the money left at the 401k plan. You might ask, so what does the company care? They care because there are costs to maintain a 401k. Think of all the regulatory filing costs they have with the Department of Labor, with the Internal Revenue Code, all those costs, the accounting costs.
And they can
costs.
Spread that cost over more participants, making it less expensive per individual.
Yes. So they want...
Also, they get to negotiate with the mutual fund companies for their platform.
Yes. Yeah, so they want...
most firms. Small firms don't actually want them. They don't want it to get more than 100 people because it
they don't want the fiduciary liability.
It increases regulatory cost.
That's correct. But so, we're seeing campaigns. International Paper actually had a campaign. Their plan that has $5 billion in it. Last year, $500 million left. because of their aging workforce.
Yeah.
So they actually have a campaign to try to keep their employees, to keep their money in. It's just kind of, I thought it was kind of an interesting new twist. There are times it makes sense to leave money in the 401k.
Primarily between the ages of 55 and 59 and a half.
If you're 55 to 59 and a half, you probably want to keep your money in the 401k.
Or at least some of it in the 401k. And you would ask, why is that, that you would keep your money in there?
Because the tax benefits, it's not locked up 59 and a half.
There's no penalty on taking the money out of a 401k as long as you've separated from a service and you're over age 55.
There's a webinar at moneymatters.com on whether to roll a 401k or not.
Did you do it?
I did. I think that's what it was called. I don't remember what it was called. You didn't do it. I did it a while ago. Huh? But it's something to look at before you roll out your 401k. Moneymatters.com, you can see it there. Anyway, we've got to take a call here. Poor Francisco's been on hold. Francisco, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a specific question on the money market index annuity.
Okay.
I'm banking with Chase, and I want some protection on my principal, and I wanted growth on my interest.
Mm-hmm.
And they have offered me to do a market index annuity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've told this based on, dependent on S&P 500.
How old are you?
Performance. I'm 45.
Where's the money today?
In the bank.
And where did the money come from? Did you save it? Did you win it? Do you inherit it? What was the source of these monies?
It's something that I was saving from the past.
And how much money is it?
Around 50.
And are you contributing to your 401k through work right now?
No, I'm a contractor.
Oh, even better.
Are you contributing to an IRA or a Roth IRA?
No, I haven't
into that yet. Do you have any employees?
No, I'm
self-employed?
No employees.
No employees.
No.
All right.
Let me ask you this question first of all. Did the person at the bank talk to you about the benefits of moving a portion of this into a Roth IRA or a Roth SEP IRA or a Roth Solo K?
Or did they ask any of these questions that we just asked?
No, there was not even a question.
There we go.
Regarding Roth IRA.
These people, if you're the bank president, you ought to be ashamed. If you heard this conversation, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Correct. Here's Francisco. Trust the bank. Go in there. Government insured, right? You trust these people, right? Because it's got FDIC insurance. You're in there thinking, I trust these people. And then they go, hey, go talk to that guy over there. You probably said to the bank teller, is there any way I could get higher interest?
You're self-employed, is that right? Contractor?
No, I'm employed by another company, but I'm not a permanent employee. So
you're a contractor.
So you have no 401k available to you.
But you can set up a SEP IRA.
Do you have health insurance offered through them?
No, it's I do have health insurance, but that's something that is being.
So here's what we want you to do. Here's what we want you to do, Francisco. You're 45, right? Didn't you say you were 45? Your time horizon is at least 20 years, at least 20 years. So you want market participation
because as much participation as you can stomach,
right? Because you're not interested in how much is going to be there next year. You aren't interested in how much money is going to be there in 20 years, right? And in fact, they may not have told you that if you bought the annuity, it's tied up till age 59 and a half, or there'll be penalties associated with it. So, Francisco, I don't have a dog in this fight, right? Mm-hmm. I will not benefit one way or the other from the information I'm going to give you. So here's what I want you to do.
Your goal should be, Francisco, what's going to give you the highest probability of success 20 years from now? Not the highest probability of principal protection
next year or the year after.
We're concerned about your retirement.
Yeah, this is going to be invested, and you should invest it the same way large pensions do. Exactly the same way, and you have that ability. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a balanced mutual fund set up in a SEP IRA. You have a who does your taxes?
A balanced mutual fund.
Yeah.
Who does your taxes?
Who does your taxes?
Right.
Who does your income taxes?
So who does your income taxes for you? Who prepares your income taxes?
It will be my first time to prepare my income tax return this year.
Okay. All right. You're my brother. I said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up a SEP IRA.
You're going to find out how much you can put in it.
For 2015.
And 2016.
You're going to maximize that. You're going to maximize 16. You might do a Roth IRA. If you're married, you might do the Roth IRA for your spouse as well instead of the SEP. I know as a minimum we could put in $22,000 of this $50,000 today into Roth IRAs.
And then you're going to leave the rest of the money.
That's going to be tax-free at retirement.
And it's going to grow tax-deferred.
And then you can push the rest of the money in over the next couple of years.
Yeah. And stay away from the losers at the bank that are peddling garbage. They didn't ask you anything about yourself. I know more about you, and we're talking on the phone.
Here's a guy who, not taking advantage of the Roth, the most basic thing, the money sitting in the bank.
He doesn't know any better.
I know he doesn't know any better.
But the idiot at the bank knows.
He might not. He might not how to put. He may not know how to put all the pieces of financial planning together.
Oh gosh, Scott. Well, then he shouldn't sit there, and certainly shouldn't dress
nice
like
that.
He's
probably not a certified financial planner.
It's disgusting.
Planner. High commission for these annuity products.
Yeah, of course it is.
Not trying to figure. Not.
Not one bit of questioning. Yeah. Here's the product. Let me tell you how much money I'm going to get paid a commission.
Also, you're just trying to push a product. Or you have a need? Here's a product.
In the bank. That's what the problem is. It's the bank.
The bank shouldn't be like
bank.
This. Should not be like this. We're up against the clock. We're going to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Join us at 1-888-2-HANSON. We'll be right back.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
And yeah, you can't get a podcast. Pat, do you listen to many podcasts? Do you find yourself a podcast?
I do. I actually do. I listen to, there's three that I like to listen to on an ongoing basis. And
it was a simple yes or no answer.
But I'm sorry. You know, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters, not just
okay,
Hanson.
So go ahead, continue.
It wasn't the name of the show is not Hanson Sometimes McLean's Money
then
Matters.
What?
It's Hanson McLean Money
feel free
Matters.
To finish what you're saying.
I was trying. You interrupted me again. So here's the deal. Just go to, you can go to our website, moneymatters.com, or you can go to iTunes, and if you type in Hanson, H-O-N-S-O-N, McLean.
H-O-N.
H-A-N-S-O-N. Thank you. H-A-N-S-O-N McLean. And you can download it on your iTunes account.
And actually, while you're there, get our 7 Personal Decision Points ebook where we talk about the 7 issues that you face during retirement and retirement transition. It really looks at how much income do you need at retirement? You personally. It'll help you personally because we're all different. How much income you need, what your expenses might look like in retirement, goes through a whole process, and finally what income sources and how to look at those, the taxation of whatnot. So there's the ebook, the 7 Personal Decision Point ebook at moneymatters.com. So I'd encourage you to
There's a webinar if you don't like to read.
Yes.
It's about 20 minutes long.
And if you want to join the program, have a question
starring
for us.
Starring yours truly.
Starring.
Starring me. This is my debut.
If you'd like to join the program today with a call, something regarding with your money right now, and would like to have us answer it on the air, it's 1-888-242-6766, 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. Again, numerically is 1-888-242-6766. And with that,
slow down.
And with that, let's talk with Jeff in Sacramento. Jeff, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi, Jeff.
I'm 55. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I'm 55, and I work for a nonprofit. I have a 403B, which is my primary retirement account. And
you mean the nonprofit doesn't have a big, fat pension for you at retirement? Along with the big,
pretty much,
big
Jeff,
fat pay?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically they are helping me, though, put 10% into my retirement account. And so I've been building that up. It's about $450,000 right now.
So who's – well, excuse me, Jeff, I'm sorry. Are they putting in 10% for you, or are you putting in your own 10%?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're putting in 10% for you. That's actually a fairly rich benefit.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah. So okay. That's been good. And then obviously for me at 55, I got one more child in college. It's got about another year and a half. And then once that happens, we're close to paying off our home. So at that point, I think, you know, we will be putting more and more into that retirement account. So,
you know, it's interesting, Jeff. This is very common at people, oftentimes in their 50s, they're looking at the retirement because suddenly as you get older, retirement's starting to face you. And even people that maybe didn't plan well in their 20s and 30s are suddenly like,
well, I got to catch up or what happens
if
moving,
what happens if I lose my job or my health changes or whatever. And so particularly once the kids are through college, now the income tends to go up. And this is the great time to really focus on getting the financial house in order, getting ready for retirement. It sounds like you already are with working on getting that house paid off, and you're already thinking about increase your savings once these expenses are taken care of. So that's
yeah,
great.
Absolutely. I see us doing more and more with that. But right now, we have pursued an investment advisor, and because for all these years, I've never, you know, like froze up and removed my assets in good times or bad, whatever. But about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I put everything into a money market, which was, you know, a bad move. So it's been sitting there doing nothing for a year and a half. And so we're ready to get back into the market. And he's suggesting the flexible plan investments.
What is that?
So it's a company. I have Fidelity. I'm working through Fidelity.
Uh-huh.
And so the flexible plan investments is a company that essentially takes 8 different types of investments, market leaders, and attempts to hold only 4 of those 8 asset classes. And so they're kind of constantly shifting and working within that framework to try to pick the best.
So here's what confuses me a little bit, is the fact that your money is in a 403B, mm-hmm. and it's not portable because you're still employed. So how is he going to do it inside your 403B?
Well, apparently I can do this through Fidelity because this company has a connection. If you look on their website,
okay.
They
right,
have
so, okay, so you have what's called does the word self-directed
403B7.
Self-directed 403B7 is what you've got.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so he is selling you on this strategy that holds 50% of the market leaders. Is that stocks or industries at any one point in time?
Essentially stocks for the most part. Yes, stocks.
So how many stocks will be in this portfolio at any one point in time?
I think 4 major stocks of 8.
It probably might be ETFs. My guess it's exchange traded. Well, 403B7, can they own stock in a 403B7?
I don't think so. But this is a SDBA. Inside of a 403B. So this is a self-directed brokerage account inside of a 403B.
May or may not be.
Sounds like
it. So the mechanics behind it now we're getting to that doesn't really matter. Let's step back for a second. So
yeah, the words ETF are on their retirement and ETF accounts.
Okay.
So it sounds like they are using a strategy. And what an ETF is, an exchange-traded fund, here's the funny thing. They're indexes, right? So basically like the S&P 500 index. An index is basically, part of it is the premise of, because we can't outperform the market, we can't outsmart the market, instead of trying to outsmart the market, let's just figure out what the market is, that index, and let's just buy the index, right? We're not going to be able to outsmart it, so instead of trying to outsmart it, let's just own the whole index.
But what they're saying is that they can outsmart the market because they know what index is to own at any one
right.
point in
Which is
time.
An so these products were created for a very low-cost way for people to own indexes, which is the type of thing that Hanson McLean does for its clients. But then what I find interesting is I see these strategists out there that say, oh, wait a minute, if you pay us some more money, we are going to employ some strategies that will outperform – We'll be able to tell you which indexes are the best to be in. And I guess they say we'll have 8 we're going to use from, and we're going to have you on the 4 best at any particular time. Right?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. So was this the same advisor that you went to cash with 2 years ago, or did you go to cash by yourself?
I just went to cash with Fidelity, so I was able to do that internally.
So there's a couple ways you can look at your investment strategy, and this is really where you're at right now. What is my investment strategy? One strategy is to say, I don't really think I'm going to be able – I can't predict where interest rates are going to go. I can't predict when the stocks are going to go up or going to go down. I can't predict where oil's going to go. I can't predict – and part of that, you come to that realization because nobody else can, right? Nobody predicted oil was going to fall to $30 a barrel. No one predicted all these things. So if you take that strategy, you say, all right, I'm going to invest my money just like the large pension plans manage their dollars. I'm going to manage it similar to the way the state of California manages it for all their employees, et cetera. And it's using more of a traditional approach of asset allocation where you've got a combination of different types of investments. And instead of making these wholesale changes all the time, you're making small tweaks in order to manage risk as much as possible. Big focus on managing risk. That's one strategy. Another strategy is to say, I'm going to see if I can't find somebody who can read the tea leaves. I'm going to find somebody who's a guru. I'm going to find somebody who's got a good crystal ball, and I'm going to follow that person. And when you're looking at someone who says, we're going to pick the best four places to be at any
out of eight,
that's basically you're saying, all right,
I think this guy is smarter than everyone else out there because he knows when to sell in and when to sell out.
And you need to be right both those times.
How much is he charging for this? For this?
I think it was 1.25%.
I'm not a fan of the strategy.
Yeah, we're not.
I'm not a fan. And I'll tell you what, if you want to swing at it, give him a little bit. Give them a little bit. What I think you need to do is at age 55 is to actually figure out when you're going to retire.
Let me ask you, did he or she spend time with you looking at your overall retirement?
Best to me through some questions about risk and so forth and kind of tried to gauge what my risk.
Not risk, retirement. Like if you're going to retire at this age, what's your cash flow going to look like?
How much do you need?
Yeah. He was saying, by the time you retire in 10 years, which was kind of the idea of work to 65, it'd be great to be closer to 800,000 or so.
Yeah.
How much are you putting in a year, every year into this 403B?
It'd be approximately $7,000 what I've been putting in.
All right.
But I see that going up.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the strategy. Wouldn't see large institutions employ this type of strategy.
No, matter of fact, if STIRS employed a strategy like this, the first time that they had a big loss, it would be front page of the paper of why are they betting money so recklessly on some strategy you call for our opinion. Anyway, Jeff, that's our opinion. We would highly recommend use more of a traditional approach, particularly at age 55. These are dollars you can't afford to lose. These we need to make sure we get it right. Anyway, we are up against the clock, which means that we are out of time. We are here every weekend on the same very station at the same very hour. And, of course, you can get our podcast at moneymatters.com if you'd like to listen to it during the week. And while you're at Money, our Money Matters Academy has a ton of great information on there. And a lot of these questions we've been talking about during the program are addressed there as well. So, anyway, enjoy the rest of your weekend. You've been listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.